From the horse capital of the world, the great city of Lexington, Kentucky, welcome to Red Barn Radio. Wherever in the world you're listening, join us as we celebrate the music of Kentucky. Tonight, Red Barn Radio presents an evening with the Chirinos, coming up on Red Barn Radio. Thank you.
Red Barn Radio is brought to you with the financial support of LexArts, Lexington, Kentucky's Arts Council, creating a great American city inspired by the arts. Visit Lex, Lexington, Kentucky's Convention and Visitors Bureau. Planning to visit Lexington or just looking for more information? Visit Lex is on the web at visitlex.com. We're more than just bluegrass.
Good evening and welcome to Red Barn Radio. I'm the producer of Red Barn Radio and welcome you to our 493rd live performance. Tonight, Red Barn Radio welcomes the Torinos. The father and son duo Matt and Tom have been playing together since Matt was 9. As a duo, they perform and have recorded old-time and Cajun tunes, as well as their own original fiddle and banjo tunes that draw from influences of these and other styles. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome tonight's guests, the Torinos.
Thank you.
If you've just joined us, this is Red Barn Radio, and you're listening to the Torinos, and we're glad to have both of them here tonight. So, where'd you guys meet?
We met in St. Joseph's Hospital in Austin, Texas.
Austin, Texas. Is that true?
Absolutely.
We're talking about.
I was there.
He was there. He was in a little clear plastic box.
Hasn't changed, has it? Let's go back to that early time. The bio says you started to play with your dad musically at the age around 9. Did you do music before that? Were you like born with a fiddle in your hand? What is this about?
Well, actually, I was playing before that a little bit. I started playing fiddle when I was about 7. I guess you could say technically performing when I was 9, but I also wasn't turned on in the PA system, so no one could hear me. We had this big band called the Squeeze Tones, which was kind of like a, hippie dance band, kind of from there, like somewhere in the mid-90s.
It was a hippie dance
hippie
band.
Dance band.
Hippie dance band.
And there's probably like 8 or 9 people on stage, and I was playing fiddle at a pretty young age in bars and things like that. But luckily for everybody in the audience, I was pretty inaudible over. And I was playing, extremely hard because I couldn't hear myself either. So I'm like, I got to play really hard to make sure everybody can hear me okay.
So he is one of the louder fiddlers I know.
I noticed that tonight. Yeah. I mean, he's not like laid back. No. He's like on.
So I usually have to use an amplifier just to break even with him. That's how he got his start, against a 9-piece band, really without being turned up in the PA. So he was trying to be heard over this, and he developed really good arm muscles.
Is that something Dad did to like hold him down and make him learn?
Playing in tune is something that you develop as a fiddler over time.
A long time.
By the age of 10.
Yeah, maybe. By the age of 10. And so what we did was, when he first started playing, if he was a little bit out of tune, we just kept the microphone off. And then as he got better, we turned it up a little bit and up a little bit. And now he's the center of the show.
Cool. Shall we put him on mic tonight, or should we keep turning him down?
I would keep turning him down myself.
If you've just joined us,
tonight we're with the Torinos on Red Barn Radio.
So after Austin, where did you go from there, and where did your music take you from there, Matt?
Well, we ended up in Champaign-Urbana when I was 3 years old. Mr. Tom here got a job at the University of Illinois teaching music and anthropology there. I was, at that time, not super involved in my musical career, but we basically were living there, and there's lots of music parties happening at our house all the time, and there was a farmer's market. At a certain point, we started like busking at the farmer's market in our town pretty regularly, and that was a nice little income for a young fella. So it was nice to have that going on, and we started playing contra dances probably when I was 12 or 13, probably. The big hippie dance band thing disbanded after a certain point, and so I was no longer playing publicly for a brief period until I could kind of hold my own as a fiddler.
Hippie dance band lost in time and space and meaning. In your family, then, you came up in a tradition of old-time music?
Yeah, kind of.
You didn't listen to, like, metal and rock? And
I did, actually. I listened to a lot of alternative rock. I grew up I was coming up in the mid to late 90s. So I was listening to a lot of rock music and a lot of what my dad, Tom, was listening to. Which is a lot of random stuff, and usually one song on repeat for a week at a time. And
I deny that.
But my peers weren't listening to fiddle music, so I thought it was pretty uncool, and I didn't really realize there was anybody who was interested in this kind of music in my age bracket until I got to college, pretty much. Some of my friends would, like, you know, randomly come to shows that I played, but not a whole lot. And so I was playing old-timey kind of stuff and a little bit of Cajun stuff and learning a few Scottish tunes and stuff like that here and there.
So even with the family influence, why a fiddle? Did, like, he force the fiddle on you? Where did you or was there one in the closet and you picked it up?
There was no forcing going on. I think there's probably some suggestion. I think from a fairly early age, the phrase, "the fiddle is the greatest instrument," was said any number of times. And so, you know, it's like you hear that at a young, impressionable age, and it sounds like a great idea.
Well, the way it was, so I played five-string banjo, I needed a fiddler. I played Cajun accordion, I needed a fiddler. I played fingerstyle guitar, blues, I needed a fiddler. So I needed a fiddler.
See, it's all about Dad, after all this time.
I never made him practice, but I told him I'd give him breakfast and dinner and lunch if he did.
Thank you. Did you ever take fiddle lessons, or is you're self-taught?
I had a violin teacher when I first started out.
A violin teacher.
She was a violinist for sure, and she had kind of got me going on Suzuki method. I was good at the ear part, not so good at the reading part, and so I basically kind of would like fudge through terribly until she got too frustrated with listening to me and would play it for me, and then I could usually get it much better after I heard it. After she left, and she was, I think, probably extremely patient. She left probably when I was about 9 years old or something like that, and I never really found another teacher that could wrangle my lack of reading / ability to play things in a consistent way. So I kind of, from there, just played with my dad and kind of worked on stuff from recordings mostly, I guess.
When you learn from listening or listening to dad. You didn't, like, read music and learn
Correct.
It that way.
Yeah.
It's all rote.
It's yeah.
And dad preceded you in life.
Usually that's how it works.
Musically too, huh?
Yeah, no doubt.
And where did you begin?
Oh,
at an early age and a high note, all that.
I began in my bedroom listening to Bob Dylan, I think, you know. I had a jug band in high school, and in college I studied South Indian music on an instrument called the veena. I wanted to study banjo at that point. I didn't play banjo yet. There were these periods where you could do independent study, and my freshman advisor said, no, you can't play the banjo. There's no intellectual content in that. Here's a quote, playing the banjo is like driving a truck. Which it is, actually. Now I agree with him these years later. But there was a guy from South India coming to our campus in that period who was teaching this instrument called the veena, which is a South Indian version of the sitar. And so I started studying that, which is what got me hooked in ethnomusicology, actually, at an early age.
I'd like to take a quick leap back. You said in high school you did jug band music.
Jug band music.
That's a great tradition out of Louisville, for one. 1930s culture.
And Memphis.
And Memphis came up river, and it's great, jaunty music. Is that part of your interest in Cajun? Does that go back to that, or where did that all come from?
Cajun,
you hung out in New Orleans.
I lived in Austin, Texas for a long time, would go over to Louisiana. I fell in love with the dancing first. And then in Austin, I was in bands with accordion players, triple row button, but we were doing Latin American music at the time. When I went to Illinois, I didn't know any button accordion players, and so I missed it, so I learned to play it myself. And that's kind of where it started, dancing it down south and then getting into the music and just learning how to play it.
Did you get any other traditions out of Texas? You know, there's Texas swing and all that stuff down there. Was that of interest to you at that time?
Or? It was always of interest. I'd never played it. You know, Austin, I played in the mariachi.
Yeah. Am I correct? You also play fiddle?
I do now. I'm learning.
So that doesn't go back to Austin or any?
Oh,
that's
no,
a
no,
recent
no. That's
acquisition.
Very, yeah, it's pretty much when I left him, I needed a fiddler.
See how that works.
Yeah.
Payback.
Well, the truth is, in Urbana, I was surrounded by Matt plays great fiddle, and his girlfriend Claire, who I play with, plays great fiddle, and Ben Smith, who was in our bands, played great fiddle, and we just had all these fiddlers around. I couldn't pick it up. I was too embarrassed.
And there was no need. Listen to that.
Yeah.
Listen to that.
Beef feeders at 3 a.m. Scan resources for one so shy. Can't sleep for now. New day is dawning. I feel as lovely as a cyclops's eye. Daffodils, new day is dawning. I found her locked up in a downtown hotel. Whatever you're selling, she ain't buying. Why she's paralyzed, only her doctor can tell. Hear the sound of one hand clapping. Ignore the finger pointing at the moon. I like to hear the old fellow laughing. It'll come around, it'll come around, it'll come around too soon. talking rot in too many places. All that matters is what's on the marquee. Selling scandal, selling rumor. Sell your photograph and set yourself free.
Coming up, more Red Barn Radio with the Torinos, recorded live from the Performance Hall at Arts Place in Lexington, Kentucky. We're back with the Torinos after this break. This is Red Barn Radio.
On the marquee, selling scandal, selling rumor. Sell your photograph and set yourself free.
Welcome back. Tonight, we're with the Torinos. This is Red Barn Radio. Thank you.
You taught in Illinois.
I did.
And then out of that experience came South America and the travel, or all part of it? That was before.
It was before. I went to India and studied music there, had decided to become an ethnomusicologist. I gigged for a while, did this thing where we drove around Vermont and New England without any heat in our car, with our feet in sleeping bags, and we're really down to the one can of beans kind of eating. And I got kind of tired of that, and I thought, you know, insurance sounds good. So I actually was really interested in the intellectual part of studying musicology and anthropology. But I have described myself as a banjo player with insurance. But as a matter of fact, the Illinois legislature hasn't passed the budget, so I don't have insurance anymore. Now I'm just a banjo player again.
Back to your roots.
So I came back from India, decided to become an ethnomusicologist, and heard Andean music on a record when I was living in Vermont, and just fell in love with the flute sound. And so had some money saved, and I hadn't started grad school yet, but I had started reading about ethnomusicology as an undergrad, and so put two textbooks in my backpack along with a pair of socks and et cetera, and flew to Cusco, Peru, and got off the plane and took one look and said, this is it, and it was.
How did you breathe down there?
Well, you get used to it. The first day is hard, and then the first week is better, and then the second week is better. Your blood changes, right? So it's a red-white blood corpuscle balance, and so you stay up there long enough, and you get it. And I also chewed coca a lot, which was really helpful.
Was that coca or coca?
Coca. Coca leaves.
Did you have an inkling of what you were going to find musically there?
This is a funny story, because I heard a kind of commercialized, folkloric, revivalist type Andean flute music on record up here in the States. And actually the record that I heard was a group called Urubamba that used to be Los Incas that backed up Paul Simon on El Cóndor Pasa. They were actually out of Paris, and they were all Latin American expats who were jazzers and classical musicians. And so they had gone to this as sort of a folk revivalist thing. It's a beautiful sound. I loved their album, I still do. Love the flute player, Unia Ramos, who's the leader of that, or was the leader, flute player of that band. And anyway, I got down to Cusco, and nobody played like that. There was no sound like that there.
What did you hear there?
Just really wild, wild, wild sounds. I mean, it's a lot of dissonance, wide tuning, loud. It's not this romantic. It's more like heavy metal played on flutes. It's tough stuff. It's big indigenous community kind of groups. I was shocked at first and then absolutely fell in love with it. Because it's so different. The sound is so different. No, this other thing that we know as Andean music is Andean music, and now it's gone back. And because tourists really want that kind of music, because that's what they think of as Andean music, now there's tons of bands like that there. But there wasn't when I first went there in 1977.
Thank you.
hot gonna take me. Sun so hot gonna make me, gonna make me now.
Join us
tonight. We're with the Torinos
on Red Barn Radio. Celebrate the music of Kentucky.
Did you get to travel at all with Dad on any of this, or you just sat at home doing your own thing?
Tom here is doing his research.
Doing his research. So you're the one who should have the doctorate, not him, right?
Well, I don't get that connection, but I was there as an infant in Peru, so I don't remember it at all. And then
we remember because we had to carry him up and down hills and mountains.
Yeah.
He refused to walk.
As an adult in music, have you gotten to travel and experience some of this other culture that Dad has done?
Yeah, a little bit. I studied abroad in Ecuador when I was in college. Ended up coming down the coast and meeting Tom in Peru for about 2 weeks, I guess, we traveled. It took me a while to get down there also, but I figured since I was studying abroad there, I might as well go to this place that I had heard the music of for my whole life and see some of the places that we lived when I was young and things like that. So I did get to go to some of these places.
You were in third grade, Matt lived for a year in Zimbabwe.
That also, yeah.
So that experience in Ecuador and so on, what did that do for you musically? Just like, oh, this is cool? Or did some of that infuse into what you're doing?
I think that I really appreciated it as a cultural experience and like I got to see some amazing things. And I think that if anything, the Andean aesthetics kind of creeped in more less from the time I was traveling and more from just having had it around the house for a good portion of my childhood. So I haven't used travel as a musical exploration, and maybe it's just because I live in an age when you can access a pretty crazy amount of music from your home, or I don't know if I'm lazy, or...
But then you've made the trek to Lexington. Who could want for
more? I know, right?
way down south in Tennessee, lived a girl named Simi. With a meat shop on her block, well, she's always got the gimmies. There's a meal called Southern Heel, and you can't resist from trying. Every time she passes the door, well, you hear Miss Simi crying. Billambo, come see me if you ain't had none. Love man speak, lame man run. Oh, show Miss Nanny if you ain't had none. Oh, Billambo. Oh, Billambo. Got the best Billambo down in Tennessee. Let's hear it, man. Station. All the boys that come to town, well, they hear her invitation. Every day from noon to night, always out there selling. Beat-a-lum hot, oh, beat-a-lum cold, you can hear Miss Simi yelling.
Beat-a-lum boom, come see me if you ain't had none.
Don't have to worry.
Don't have to worry, don't have to go. Well, just one taste, you're gonna want some more. Oh, Billambo, Billambo. Got the best Billambo down in Tennessee.
Want some more,
Billambo,
Billambo. Got the best Billambo down in Tennessee.
Bring one more.
I am just absolutely blown away. He's not your son. You found him somewhere. He's much too good. There's stuff that you do, and there's an excitement that you do that in your performance that is extraordinary.
I guess I try to make the sounds that I want to hear. I think I've listened to a lot of different types of music, a lot of fiddle music, and I think that the rhythmic aspect largely comes from my love for the banjo ukulele, probably. And so I kind of grew up listening to the Horseflies and spin-off bands like of them and hearing that. And I guess I've always been attracted to the backbeat. And so that comes out very much in my bowing.
I think part of the story that
hasn't
been...
And maybe Cajun.
Cajun, but also we listened to a lot. There was this period when I was studying African music that African music was on in the house all the time.
Yeah, I don't know if that infused or not, but
in African music, is that melodic or is that percussive?
Well,
I don't know enough about it.
Both.
Depends
both.
On which one.
Both. But yeah, I play an instrument called mbira, which is melodic, but it's the timing of it is really interesting. So it goes between fours, twos, and threes within a 12/8 measure, and lots of rhythmic flexibility and lots of playing around with rhythms. So I think that's became true. Part of like the soundscape of our house.
When you're just jamming away, what is going on in your mind?
The best moments are when there's nothing going on in my mind, ideally. And so it's like for me, playing is very much a trying to get to a place where it's like a direct flow of things into my fingers and bow hand, and sometimes that's more successful than other times, and it causes more mistakes probably, but ideally great moments also. So my favorite nights of playing are when I can just like totally shut off and just like let it kind of just things just happen basically, and it doesn't feel like I'm necessarily doing it, but you know.
Is this one of those nights, or is this really?
There's been moments, and then there's a couple moments where I'm like, ooh, I didn't quite get there on that one.
I would like to thank our guests, Tom and Matt, the Torinos, for being with us tonight here on Red Barn Radio. We'd also like to thank those of you listening to our webcast and those listening to us on the Red Barn network of stations. And of course, the members of our studio audience, we thank all of you for supporting the mission of Red Barn Radio to promote, preserve, and perform the music of Kentucky and the region. Red Barn Radio comes to you from our home, the Performance Hall at Arts Place in downtown Lexington, Kentucky. Our website has updates and further information on all our guests and our program. We're on the web at redbarnradio.com. Check it out. Once again, let's have an encore. Let's hear it for the Torinos. Thank you.
time.
Red Barn Radio would like to thank Matt and Tom, the Chirinos, for being with us tonight.
We thank High on Art and Coffee for supplying food for our musical guests and volunteers. High on Art and Coffee, 523 East High Street in the Woodland Triangle here in Lexington. For more information, they're on the web at highonartandcoffee.com. Campus Computer Repair Service is Red Barn Radio's computer maintenance source, offering personal and professional repair for home and small business PC, Mac, and iPad users. Campus Computer Repair is a Lexington business with a reputation for providing a consistently high level of customer service, fast repair times, and reasonable rates. For more information, they're on the web at campuscomputerrepair.net. Red Barn Radio's executive producer is Ed Commons, who also directs our show. We also thank our volunteers, especially Glenn and Linda Dawson, Lynn Hacker for her help with our social media. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. You can attend a Red Barn Radio concert in person. You'll find performance dates and times at redbarnradio.com. The Red Barn Radio playout theme, Wookie Foot, was taken from a live performance of The Wooks here on Red Barn Radio. For more information on the band, they're on the web at wookoutamerica.com. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be here again on this station next week at this same time with the traditional music of Kentucky. I'm the voice of Red Barn Radio, Tom Brown. Red Barn Radio has been brought to you with the financial support of LexArts, Lexington, Kentucky's Arts Council, creating a great American city inspired by the arts. Visit Lex, Lexington, Kentucky's Convention and Visitors Bureau, showcasing the premier places to experience in Central Kentucky. Visit Lex.com. We're more than just bluegrass. Red Barn Radio is a production of Red Barn Radio, LLC.